If you would, this morning, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ruth. We're going to be in the second week in our series called God's Grace, the Christmas Story in Ruth. And as we have been walking through the book of Ruth, we see how God uses the people and the events in this book to prepare us for the coming of Christ at Christmas. Last week, we saw that these events in Ruth and the events of the Christmas story both take place in that little town of Bethlehem. And our children just share their program, A Little Town of Bethlehem, and share the importance of this city. It was because of the events that take place in Ruth that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Last week, we focused on some parallels between Ruth in this book and Mary in the Christmas story. And we talked about faith. And our children in the children's program, they shared stories of men and women throughout the Old Testament who obeyed in faith, looking forward to the promise of the coming Messiah. And as they look forward, they lived their life in faith. And we see that Ruth, that she was a person who made a radical commitment to a faith as she journeyed to Bethlehem. And she gave birth to a child that would change the world. And we see in the Christmas story this young woman, Mary, making a radical commitment of faith and traveling to Bethlehem and giving birth to a baby that changes the world. At the end of chapter 1, we have Ruth and Naomi just arriving in Bethlehem with nothing. When Naomi left Bethlehem and she went to Moab, she had a husband and she had sons, and she comes back and there's nothing. Ruth was from Moab, and she had married one of Naomi's sons. And when her husband had died, Ruth also became a widow. And she was a widow who could have easily, she was young enough, she could have stayed in Moab and she could have remarried and started a family and continued to live her life. But she decided to go to Bethlehem with her mother-in-law. And when she goes, she knew that it was going to be very unlikely that she would ever remarry or have children. And then enters Boaz. Boaz, in chapter 2, a righteous man. See, there was a man once who thought himself too righteous, and he boasted to his Christian friend. He says, you know, I'm not really such a bad guy. Really, I'm a good person. There are many worse than I am. And his friend replies, and he says, you're measuring yourself by the wrong standards. You measure yourself by the harlots and the drunkards that you see. And when you see them, yes, you see yourself, and you say you're a pretty good guy. But when you measure yourself next to a holy and perfect God, how do you make out? See, a righteous man does not try to be better than the world. A righteous man seeks to be godly. Ruth is not just a story of a young woman who makes a radical commitment of faith. It's also the story of a righteous man who offered kindness and protection and provision to a young woman in her time of need. So what does this righteous man look like? How does a righteous man act? Well, in today's text, we're going to see some of these answers. And so follow along, if you would, in this narrative in Ruth chapter 2. We'll begin with the first 9 verses. Now, Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I might find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to his reapers, may the Lord be with you. And he said to him, may the Lord bless you. Then Boaz said to his servants, who was in charge of the reapers? Whose young woman is this? And the servants in charge of the reapers replied, she's the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. Thus she came and has remained from the morning until now, and she has been sitting in the house for a little while. Then Boaz said to Ruth, listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the fields when they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw. So we see in this passage, a righteous man is one who puts God first in his life. Boaz here, he's related to Naomi on her husband's side. He is a man of great wealth. He's a man of great influence. He's a man of great reputation in the community. And the fact that he's related to Naomi's deceased husband has become a very important part of the story as we continue this later. And Ruth makes this decision that she's going to go into the fields to glean. And when she does, she just happens to find herself in the field of Boaz. Now, I say that this is just happens, but this really is not a coincidence. This is something that God has orchestrated, that she finds herself here in these fields. And in verse 4, we see the kind of man that Boaz was. The first words we hear from him out of his lips as he greets his harvesters, he says, "The Lord be with you." He is a good man who loves the Lord and loves people. And the people love him in return. The harvesters, they call back to him and they say, "The Lord bless you." And so you see this relationship that Boaz has, first with his God and then with his people. And there's much to learn about a righteous man just from this little section. As a righteous person, do you put God first in your life? Do you treasure your relationship with God above all else? As a righteous man, do you love others? Do others recognize God's love in your life? Do others recognize that God is first in your life? Do they see it in the things that you do? In verse 5, we have this critical turning point in this love story. Since this is a Christmas sermon, picture with me that you're watching the Hallmark Channel. And you have this Christmas story. And you have boy meets girl. And girl meets boy. And girl travels to hometown of boy. And boy notices girl. Right? Isn't that every Hallmark movie there is? Boaz here, he is a wealthy landowner. He has many harvesters working in the fields. And there are plenty of poor people gleaning in the field. And he takes notice of Ruth. And he sees her gleaning and he asks about her. And notice how the servant identifies her. He doesn't call her by name. He says, "Oh, her? She's that Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi." And that really is her identity in Bethlehem at this time. She's a foreigner. She's an outsider. She doesn't belong. Ruth here is a nobody. But Boaz takes notice. And he calls her over and he speaks to her kindly. And he encourages Ruth, says, "Continue to glean in my field." And he tells the men, he says, "Don't bother her." And he even gives her permission to drink from the men's water jars. And Ruth, she knows her place as a foreigner. She knows that this wealthy man is taking notice of her and showing kindness to her, and she has no ability to pay him back. Isn't that what serving is really all about? It's not about what we get, but it's about what we give. Right? Boaz gave. He took care of Ruth knowing there was nothing. He expected nothing in return. That's one of the things that I love about some of the ministries that we do at Christmas time, right? We do things like Love in Action, and we do things like Operation Christmas Child. And when we give with no expectations of getting anything back, we don't expect the children to get our shoeboxes and say, "Oh, yeah, that was from Boyd Avenue Baptist Church. I should do something in return to them," right? No, we don't expect that. We don't expect when we help out with Love in Action, those families will do anything in return. But isn't that how we should live our lives? That shouldn't be just something that we do at Christmas time, but we should live a life that way. It needs to extend to all aspects of our life. Loving God and loving others should not be something that we do. It should become who we are as believers. See, this was not something that Boaz did. This was who he was. What he did was in character for the way that he lived his life. He was one who protected and provided for others. In verse 10, we continue the narrative where we read, "Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, 'Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?' And Boaz replied to her, 'All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me. and how you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. Then she said, I have found favor in your sight. My Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, come here, that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers, and he served her roasted grain, and she ate and was satisfied and had some left. When she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servant, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not insult her. Also you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it, that you may glean, and do not rebuke her. When Ruth asked Boaz why are you showing such kindness to me? His response wasn't based on pity for this poor girl. He sees a woman who made a radical commitment of faith to the Lord and taking care of Naomi and coming to Israel. And he encourages her in her walk with the Lord. And he speaks this blessing over her when he says, may the Lord reward your work and the wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, whose wings you have come to seek refuge. When Ruth left Moab and she's walking with her mother-in-law, one of the things he says is, your God will be my God. She took refuge in the God of Israel. She saw who God was and that relationship with God. She took refuge in that. This morning, if we come to a place in our lives where we take refuge under the wings of God, knowing that our God is a loving God and he will never leave you or forsake you. When Ruth left, she was following this God that she knew somehow was going to take care of her. She had no idea how, but she was willing to follow, and she took comfort in the under the wings of God. See, Jesus died on a cross so that we could have a relationship with him and come under his protection. Our children share the story of Christmas, that Jesus come born as a Savior, came and born in Bethlehem. And he came and he lived on this life, not just to be a good example of how we should live our life, but he came to live his life as our Savior. And he paid the penalty for our sin on a cross, and he brings us under his protection. And just like Ruth, we are foreigners. We don't belong. We are nobody, but God loves us anyway. See, we are not self-sufficient. We can't do this on our own. We can't get to heaven on our own. We need the grace and the mercy and the kindness of God. And too many people need to hear this. There are too many that do hear these words, and they know this need, and then they reject the need. And the reason that people reject this need, the reason people reject Christ, it is pride. And as we look at Ruth in the story, we see that she is not in a position to resist because of pride, and neither are we. So here she seeks refuge in God, and she submits to him in complete trust. And Boaz shows even further kindness. He provides her some lunch, maybe the best meal that she's had in a very long time. She had so much to eat that she even had some left over. And then he gives some additional orders, Boaz says. And he says, he orders the men. He says, usually the gleaners, what they do is they follow behind and they pick up anything that stalks that fall to the ground. And Boaz gives Ruth special permission to glean even among the sheaves, on the piles of grain that the harvesters have already bundled together. And then not only that, he tells them, he says, hey, pull some extra stalks and purposely leave them on the ground behind so that Ruth can pick them up. See, Ruth just didn't get the leftovers. Boaz was providing in a special way, and once again, he puts her under his protection. He's already told the men not to touch her, and now he tells them not to even rebuke her, but to protect her. There's a lesson here. Men, there's a lesson here for us. Men in our church, those of you who are married and those of you who are not married, even in our society, godly men must honor women. Men, God may grant you a girlfriend and then maybe a fiance and then maybe a wife. And men, we have a responsibility to protect and provide. We need to treat women with honor and respect both before marriage and after. men, we have a responsibility to guard the purity and reputation even before marriage and be faithful to her once you are married. You see, Ruth was in a spot, a position where she could have been taken advantage of. And Boaz could have taken advantage of her, and he did not. We have a responsibility, and a responsibility doesn't just stop when we say, I do. It's a lifetime commitment. See, the problem in our culture today is there are too many men who aren't acting like men. Don't be like our culture. A righteous man protects and provides. See, we need to quit thinking life is about us. We need to quit thinking this is about who we are, about what we get. It's not about who we are. It's not about what we get. It's about what we give. And a righteous man is not about himself. He blesses others. In verse 17, so she gleaned in a field until evening, and then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She took it up and went to the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also took out of it and gave Naomi what she had left after, and she was satisfied. Her mother-in-law then said to her, where did you glean today, and where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the name of the man with whom I work today is Boaz. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed in the Lord who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and the dead. Again, Naomi said to her, the man is our relative and he is one of our closest relatives. Then Ruth the Moabitess said, furthermore, he said to me, you should stay close to my servants until they have finished all the harvest. Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with the maids so that others do not fall upon you in another field. So she stayed close to the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. And she lived with her mother-in-law. Boaz puts God first in his life. Boaz shows kindness to the poor. He encourages Ruth in his relationship and her walk with the Lord. He protects for her and he provides for her. And Ruth, she works all day. And when she's done, she's gathered enough grain, about 30 pounds of grain. And she returns home and Naomi is astounded. And she says, hey, where did you work today? And Ruth mentions the name of Boaz, a name that was very familiar to Naomi. And here she introduces this concept of the kinsman redeemer that we're going to look at further in next week's sermon. It's because it's a very important part of this passage. And Ruth tells Naomi that Boaz has invited her to stay until the harvest is finished. Ruth gleaned in the fields not only for the barley harvest, but also for the wheat harvest. The barley harvest lasted about 3 weeks and the wheat harvest for another 4 weeks beyond that. And Ruth was blessed with 7 weeks of work, 7 weeks of solid gleaning in which she would probably then store up enough food to last them for an entire year, all because of Boaz's righteous action. A righteous man blesses others. To follow God, to follow Christ, is to be a person who blesses others, to have this form of righteousness. Now, you'd be wondering what this has to do with the Christmas story, since this is entitled a sermon series, A Christmas Story in Ruth. What does this have to do with Christmas? Well, Christmas is a story of another righteous man who offered kindness and protection and provision to a young woman in her time of need. The children mentioned Joseph. Picture Joseph, about to be married to this young woman, Mary. And Mary comes to him and says, Joseph, I have something to tell you. And man, you're thinking, you know, wife comes, I have something to tell you. Okay, what's wrong? And she says, I'm pregnant, but it's okay. The baby's God's. And Joseph says, that's probably the craziest thing I ever heard. And what is Joseph's reaction in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25? Now, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, since he was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had thought this over, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus. for he will save his people from their sins. Now, all this took place so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet would be fulfilled. Behold, a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. They shall call him Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son and named him Jesus. See, we see that Joseph in the Christmas story is a righteous man. He was one who put God first in his life, and he followed through in obedience. He showed kindness to Mary when he finds out that she's pregnant, and she comes and she shares this news with him. He could have publicly disgraced her. He could have done worse. He had every right to make an example of Mary. But even when he is unsure about this story of Mary being pregnant with God's child, he decides to deal kindly with her. And then he has this dream, and an angel comes and tells him, and he takes Mary as his wife and provides for her. See, this book of Ruth is a story of a righteous man who offers kindness and protection and provision to a young woman in her time of need. And the Christmas story is also the story of a righteous man who offers kindness and protection and provision to a young woman in a time of need. So this morning, as we close our time together, how do we become a righteous person? Maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, no, I really am a pretty good person. I do a lot of good things, and I give to the poor and I give to the needy, and I don't do a lot of bad things. I am a pretty good person. Well, let me tell you, it's only by the grace of God that any of us can become truly righteous. The title of today's sermon is A Righteous Man, because when it comes right down to it, there is only one true righteous individual, and the name is Jesus. And when we measure ourselves by Jesus, we see where we are. See, it's only through him. It's only through a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's only because of the blood that Jesus shed that we can truly become righteous in the sight of God. This morning, as we see this story, I hope you see the importance of men and women who put their faith and trust in God. I hope this morning, as you watch the children share their message this morning, that you didn't just get out of this that it was a bunch of children sharing this cute little message, but you see them sharing a message of faith, that there were men and women who were looking forward to the coming Messiah in faith. They were serving their God in faith. And their righteousness was because of their faith. And I hope this morning that you see in your life the only way that you could be made right is by faith in Jesus Christ. Putting God absolutely first in your life. Showing kindness to people, encouraging others in their walk with the Lord. Being a person who protects and provides and uses your life to bless others. Our life is not about us. Our life is about serving God and serving others. When Jesus was asked the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your might and love your neighbor as yourself, a righteous person. So this morning, let me invite you to consider the message that you heard here today, to consider the message of Christmas. Jesus, born in a manger, lived on the earth, sacrificed himself on a cross, so that we could have eternal life. Do you believe in that message? Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? We see the example of living by faith, walking by faith, putting our faith into action in Ruth and Boaz. And we see the importance of a righteous man following God and loving others. And in that, where are we?